We can take our seats, thank you. In July of 2001, as part of our petition process, I was on a hunger fast in Washington, and I was down on the corner of 14th Street and Constitution Avenue. We had a permit from the National Park Service to have a van and a sign there, and we had through the good offices of Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, we had arranged for for a press conference on the House Triangle one day. Well, the day before the scheduled press conference, I was talking to a group of students on the corner of 14th Street and Constitution Avenue who had noticed our sign, and they were talking about the issues. And I turned around, and there was this man standing there quietly. And I went over and to find out who it was. He was standing right next to our sign. And he said, "I'm Charlie Bell." Well, I remember remembered receiving from Charlie Bell, a stranger to me, correspondence a few months earlier. It was very supportive. Charlie was being very supportive, indicating that he was a businessman from Atlanta, sent along his annual report and some other things related to his business. And I remembered receiving this and being impressed. It's not often in this movement that we have people step forward with their encouragement, people who have a great deal to lose in standing up for the things that we stand up for. But in talking with Charlie Bell over the telephone first and then there on the corner of 14th Street and Constitution Avenue, I learned a lot more about Charlie Bell. Charlie Bell has a couple of advanced degrees. He was a Marine, retired as a captain in the Marine Corps. Went into something he doesn't talk a whole lot about, but went into the nation's intelligence services. And from my understanding, there are intelligence agencies we all know about, and there's a whole bunch that we don't know about. And I think Mr. Bell was part of one of the latter. And then he went on and became an extraordinarily successful international business consultant, management consultant. Excuse me, there is a big difference. And he has been a real friend to the We the People organization. I look forward to his coming aboard as a board member someday. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Charlie Bell.
Thank you. Good morning. 100s of patriotic Americans from across our great country have come here to the National Press Club in Washington today, and we will be joined by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of viewers worldwide via the live broadcast of this press conference on C-SPAN and other news networks. We welcome you today to what will truly be an extraordinary moment in the history of our country. I'd like to begin my remarks with a brief personal comment, if I may. You know, true friendship is one of life's greatest blessings. It's a rare and precious thing that we give and receive without any strings attached. It rests on a foundation of mutual respect and trust, and it somehow endures even the most arduous disagreements. It requires a conscious, active decision to place the security, the welfare, and the needs of another person above our own. I'd like to say that it has been my honor and my privilege to call Bob Schultz a friend. He is a man of uncommon courage and character, a humble and tenacious man whose deep love of country, selfless devotion to duty, and unwavering commitment to our Constitution and Bill of Rights have been an inspiration to countless Americans, including those who have traveled across or traveled from across our nation to stand with him here today. Early in life, as a graduate engineer, Bob built a successful business and was well on his way to financial independence and security. But in the past years, he became increasingly troubled by the developing trend toward judicial activism in our state and federal courts, the widespread arrogance and corruption of our political leaders and judges, and the blatantly unconstitutional abuse of power by all three branches of our federal government. So 5 years ago, at the tender age of 59, Bob made a decision that has irreversibly altered the course of his life. He and Judy, his wife and partner of 41 years, chose to sacrifice everything they had worked for to pursue a higher and greater purpose. To the many thousands of supporters of We the People Foundation who have made significant personal sacrifices to stand with us over the past 5 years, I believe that it's important and most appropriate for you to know that Bob and Judy Schultz have shared in your sacrifice. For his tireless and faithful leadership of the We the People Foundation, he has received no compensation for the past 5 years. He and Judy have truly lived by their faith. For their great personal sacrifice and vigilant defense of our freedoms, we owe them our deepest respect and gratitude. In recent years, Bob and the We the People Foundation have worked diligently to educate large numbers of Americans about the true history and effect of our divinely inspired constitutional form of government and what we must do to keep it. These initiatives have produced a great renewal of our constitutional awareness and a virtual groundswell of grassroots civic activism across America. In 1999, the We the People Foundation embarked on an unprecedented campaign to restore America's founding principles of faith in God, individual responsibility, constitutional order, and limited servant government. This campaign of mass education and civic action has focused primarily on the First Amendment right of every American to petition our servant government for a redress of grievances, when it steps beyond the specific limited authority delegated to it by the people. Over the past few years, the Foundation's determined and principled campaign to restore our Constitution and Bill of Rights have sent literally sent shockwaves through the established centers of political power in Washington, D.C. Through the educational efforts of the We the People Foundation, hundreds of thousands of Americans from every walk of life are now learning, some for the first time, about our magnificent heritage of faith and freedom and the lawful authority and proper function of government in our constitutional republic, where individual liberty, private property, personal responsibility, and honest, accountable government are the cornerstones of our society, and where respect for our Constitution and Bill of Rights are a constant safeguard against the tyranny of the political majority. For over 4 years, we have repeatedly, respectfully, and lawfully exercised our constitutional right to petition our servant government for a redress of our grievances relating to, number one, the taxing clauses of the Constitution and the unlawful administration and enforcement of a direct, unapportioned tax on the labor of working Americans. Number two, the war power clauses of the Constitution and the unlawful Iraq resolution. Number three, the money clauses of the Constitution and the unlawful private Federal Reserve system. And finally, number four, the privacy clauses of the Constitution and the grossly, grossly unlawful USA Patriot Act. For four years, our servant government has answered the people's lawful petitions and respectful questions with silence, threats, and retribution. After 4 years, not one elected representative or senior official in the executive or legislative branches of the federal government has been willing to publicly respond to our petitions. What insufferable arrogance by these so-called public servants, every one of whom has taken a solemn oath to preserve, protect, and defend America's Constitution and Bill of Rights. We have come here today to announce an historic legal action that will determine once and for all whether the American people still have a right to petition our servant government for a redress of our grievances and the right to receive a complete, accurate, and timely answer to our lawful petitions. Or if our divinely inspired Constitution and Bill of Rights has become a dead letter, no longer recognized as the law of the land by the executive, legislative, and judicial branches of the United States federal government. As patriotic, law-abiding citizens, we deserve to know once and for all if our servant government is going to respect the rule of law and submit to the constraints imposed upon its authority by our Constitution and Bill of Rights, or if our government considers itself no longer subject to the consent and control of the people. Through this legal action, we the people will have an answer to our petitions. Ladies and gentlemen, the long halls of and corridors of Congress and the executive and the judiciary of our country are full of articulate, persuasive men and women who openly claim allegiance to America's heritage of faith and freedom, but then who surreptitiously collaborate to advance a political and social agenda that is hostile to our tradition of faith, individual liberty, and self-determination. What were once our most fundamental governing principles of self-reliance, personal responsibility, and respect for private property are today broadly castigated as selfish, or ridiculed as being out of step with the practical norms of our modern American culture. Almost from the moment an American child takes its first breath, he or she is issued a government identification number and begins the process of collectivist indoctrination designed to prevent future errant notions of personal freedom and self-reliance. The child will be taught in our government schools to respect and trust those in positions of government authority, regardless of the conduct of those government officials. And our impressionable young Americans are instructed to surrender to the commands of their benevolent masters, who, after all, know best for them, their lives, and their property. Over the past 50 years, America has produced a ruling class of financial elite, career politicians, and government bureaucrats who despise the moral clarity and noble values of America's founders. They do not believe in moral absolutes. They do not believe in honor. They do not believe in personal sacrifice. They use their positions of influence and power to exploit the ignorance, apathy, and envy that has become epidemic in American society. They do not believe that government should be constrained by anything so antiquated, outdated, and irrelevant to our modern times as the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights. We are told that we should willingly pay tribute for their benefit or for the benefit of their wisdom and their protection. They tell us that our rights derive not from Almighty God, our Creator, but from the political deliberations of severely flawed and imperfect men. 4 years ago, the We the People Foundation and its supporters began the historic journey that has brought us here today. It has been a time marked by disappointment, by trial, and also by great accomplishment, thanks to you. By our shared faith in God, our love of country, our deep respect for America's founding principles, and our common resolve to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution and Bill of Rights for future generations of Americans, we are destined, each of us, here today, to follow the narrow and sometimes treacherous path traveled by our forefathers, the path that leads to freedom. In 1776, America's founders gathered in Philadelphia to draft the Declaration of Independence, which dissolved the political ties that had bound the American people to Great Britain. A new nation was thus born, free and independent, the United States of America. 11 years later, in 1787, after American patriots had won our independence on the battlefield, many of the men who had met earlier in Philadelphia, plus others, met there again to draft a plan for governing the new nation. That plan was the Constitution of the United States. In 1789, after the plan had been ratified, the new government was established, together with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. These two documents, the Declaration and the Constitution, are America's founding documents. As amended over the years, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land and the nation's fundamental law. To better understand and appreciate the form of government we have, it is important to look first to the Declaration, where the founders outlined their moral vision and the government that it implied. The Declaration opens with perhaps the most important line in the document: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, These self-evident truths invoke the long tradition of natural law, which holds that there is a higher law of right and wrong from which to derive human law and the standards of moral conduct by which we judge all government behavior. It is not political will, then, but absolute moral reasoning, which is accessible to all people, that is the foundation of our political system in America. But if reason was the foundation of the founder's vision, then individual liberty was its ultimate aim. Thus, for us as Americans, the essential moral truths are these. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Thank you so much. So according to the Declaration of Independence, our government was instituted to secure our rights, our natural rights, our God-given rights. When it came time to draft a new constitution, the founders drew upon the principles they had outlined in the Declaration. The preamble sets forth the basic principle of the document. We the people, for the purposes listed, do ordain and establish the Constitution. So in short, all government power comes from the people. The Constitution plainly states that only certain powers were delegated or granted to the government by the people. And those powers are specifically enumerated. The rest of government power was reserved to the states and to the people themselves. As in many of their early writings, the founders made it very clear that they intended the doctrine of enumerated powers to be our principal defense against overreaching government. The thought being that if there were no power to do something, the government could hardly abuse that power. The First Amendment to the Constitution reads, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion." Shall make no law, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances is the cornerstone right upon which all other rights claimed by the people are balanced. Without the right to petition, the individual American or a minority of Americans have no practical way to protect themselves from the tyranny of a political majority or any practical way to hold their servant government accountable. But in the end, no constitution can be self-enforcing. Government officials must respect their oaths to uphold the Constitution. And we the people must be vigilant in seeing to it that they do. The Declaration of Independence and Constitution will endure only if they remain alive in the hearts and minds of the American people. Only if we are prepared to defend them with all that we have. So today, we ask every American present here and those who are viewing this broadcast live, every American who loves our country, who believes in our founding principles of faith and freedom, and in whose hearts the flame of liberty still burns, to join us as we stand together and speak with one voice to our government. We the people will not long be denied our God-given rights and His blessing of individual liberty. Answer our petitions now. Thank you.